Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing primarily the releases of nine more WWE athletes at 2-1. You know what? We're not even going to take any calls today anyway. There's too much to say. Very angry today, folks, but it's not for the same reason that a lot of other people in the wrestling universe, a lot of other journalists and sites are mad. You know, I popped online and I'm hearing people say these, oh, I feel so sorry for the poor athletes there. I feel so sorry for these people. I don't feel sorry for them, and here's why I don't feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for the people who lost their jobs around this time of year who's making $12, $15 an hour. I feel sorry for the people who can't find work. I feel sorry for the people who are laid off. I feel sorry for the people who are getting booted because they won't take a vaccine. These people are going to be fine. They're making hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, some of them. And the ones that didn't, they're going to land on their feet. They're going to be fine. This is what happens in the entertainment business. Suddenly you're not relevant, you're not being used, you're let go. It happens. To cast the WWE as being evil for letting people go is dumb. It's not true. But I do have a huge bone to pick with the WWE about this. But it doesn't have anything to do with letting the people go, necessarily, as far as their fate is concerned. It has to do with the utter disrespect you are showing your audience and the message you are sending to the future people who sign with your company. As a business, you are doing yourselves a dirty. And you are, I guess you're not even smart enough to understand it. I guess this is where we've landed here. You know, it used to be in the WWE, and I'm reading down this list of names, and I'm saying to myself, well, you know, some of these people, even though I may disagree with it, I get it. Okay, John Morrison. I'm a big John Morrison fan. He is 40-something. He's not going to be used in any major capacity, and the WWE figures, you know, we're not going to use him in any major capacity. Now, we could argue, why is Jeff Hardy still employed? Same deal, right? Okay. Maybe you figure we let his wife go, might as well let him go. Jackson Riker. Okay, well, you know what? You gave him a shot. You didn't like him. You felt that he didn't have the right stuff. Shane Thorne, you weren't doing much with him since the slapjack thing kind of got canceled. And okay. I mean, if he was just going to sit home anyway, okay. But now we come to the mind-boggling ones. All of Hit Row. Well, you're not going to sit here and tell me with a straight face, this is done strictly for budget cuts. Then are you too stupid to manage your budget to the point where you introduced them? You put them on air. You gave them valuable airtime. You introduced them to the fans and said, here we go. We're going to give you some young, fresh, new talent that you're going to be able to get behind on the main roster. So please pay attention. We're giving you the fresh talent that you want, and then you fire them all. Drake Maverick was your 24/7 champion last week. Oh, we got a big plan. See, he's going to be the mastermind, and he's going to be the guy who brings a more serious tone to the 24/7 belt. Yeah, and now he's gone. By the way, you wasted valuable airtime on Morrison, too. Wasn't he supposed to be some kind of Zen, hippie sort of a self-help guru or something? Is that what you were planning for him? You were reinventing him. It's very obvious. You gave him airtime. You're the ones who gave him the airtime. Now let me let you in on a little secret about business. At the end of the year, maybe once or twice a year, you do a budget evaluation. Yeah, some people do it quarterly, but this is not what I'm talking about. The quarterly thing is for your shareholders and stuff. You do your budget evaluation. You say to yourself, we're going to need to release some people. And you do it all at once. You say, we're going to need to release maybe this many dollars worth of people. And then you get your heads together and say, who's the people we're really not using, we're really not going to use, who have outlived their usefulness, who are too expensive for us to maintain. That's what you do. And you do it all at once, and that's it for the year. What the WWE is doing now is just continually releasing people that it feels like it's just random. Oh, here's some old people we're not using, but here's some people we just used last week in a big way. Here's some older talent, but here's younger talent being released. And you're not going to convince me that this was all a part of a plan, because if you're smart enough to know you have to make budget cuts, why are you calling up people that you have no use for? Why are you calling up all of Hit Row just to release every single one of them? Do you know how dumb that makes your company look? This is the equivalent of a Fortune 500 company saying, we're hiring. We're going to have fresh blood here, and we're hiring, and we hired 25 people. And then the minute they get to work and they get behind their desk, you say, I'm sorry, budget cuts, we got to fire you. Wouldn't that belie the question, why the hell did you hire me to begin with? Why'd you bring me here to begin with, just to fire me? So I don't necessarily feel sorry for the athletes. They know when they get into these contracts, they know. Who I feel sorry for are the fans who have to continually put up with this bullshit. And that's exactly what it is. Of the WWE saying, oh, we're going to introduce some characters for you. Here's Karrion Kross. You're going to like him. We're going to present him as a big part of our programming from now on. And the minute you start to say, okay, well, I'm going to buy into this then, I'm going to start paying attention. Now he's fired. We're bringing Keith Lee back. Remember how good he was? Well, we're going to rise him to the top again. Now he's fired. But don't worry, we got some people from NXT coming up. We're going to bring up all of Hit Row. Remember when Corey Graves, oh, Hit Row! That's going to be a major, major asset. Gone. Wait a minute. Did you not have your announcer say that? Did you not have your announcer promote how wonderful they were going to be? So now what you're basically telling your fans is, oh, we're lying to you. We're lying to you. Don't pay attention to anything we say. Maybe Austin Theory is next, right? He's in the Survivor Series, but then right after Survivor Series, he's gone. But pay no attention to everything he did. It was a waste of your time. Jackson Ryker, did you not basically get rid of Elias over Jackson Ryker? Did you not destroy the career of Elias over Jackson Ryker because you said he is going to be a big star? Now he's gone, and you've ruined Elias over it. You can't get out of your own way. Tony Khan isn't doing the things he does because he's a genius. It's because you're bumbling idiots. If I opened up a pizzeria with cruddy pizza, but the pizzeria next door to me shit on their pizza, then I guess I'm going to sell more of my cruddy pizza because nobody's eating it with shit on it. And that's exactly what you're doing. I don't blame fans. I no longer blame fans. I don't care if you want to watch the WWE anymore. I don't blame you if you say I'm watching it, because there's nothing to emotionally invest yourself in. Why would you sit in your living room, turn your TV on every week and say, okay, they're introducing new people. This is going to be great. Let me imagine what they might do. Maybe they're going to get into a feud with the bloodline. Maybe they're going to get into a feud with this one. Maybe this person's going to bring some legitimacy to the 24/7 title. Maybe there's going to be a boost in the women's division. No, no, they're all gone. They're all gone. But that's okay, because they're bringing more people up. Oh, good. They're bringing up some of my favorites from NXT. This will be great. Oh, no, they're gone. This is such a disservice to your fans. That's why I'm pissed. The wrestlers, they're big boys and girls. They get it. They'll land on their feet. Fans should not have to put up with your inept, bumbling, ridiculous business strategies. If you are this poor that you have to cut this many people for budget costs, what you need to do is start over again, fire everybody, and then rehire the people you want. Obviously, you're going broke. But they're not going broke because we know what their profits are. So there's something more behind this, folks. And for a long time, I have resisted saying this because I don't have any actual proof of this. But I'm telling you as someone who owned a business, when you start getting rid of excess like this, it's because you're looking to sell. You cut the major chafe away, and it makes it more attractive to a possible buyer. In other words, a possible buyer might say, oh, man, you got a lot of employees in here with contracts, and they're not doing anything. I don't want to buy their I don't want to buy all this, you know, and we'll get rid of all that. We'll bare bones it. Then when you own it, if you want to hire people, that's you know, up to you. We'll just give you the bare bones. See, that's what you do before you sell. You cut out all the excess and you make it more lucrative for someone to buy you. But then they can make their own decisions about hiring people. That's what I'm seeing from the WWE. Now, they're denying it uphill and down. But something's not right, folks. Something is not right. Are you going to tell me that a billion-dollar corporation does not get together with their hierarchy and say, we need to save this amount of money this year? So we are going to get together and we are going to decide which contracts and whatever we are going to expire, we're going to let go. You mean to tell me you don't do that? You mean to tell me that you're such a bumbling company that you're like, bring up a hit row, put them on our major television show, feature them, let them win. Let them come in and win. Give them some time, airtime, to talk. Fire them. Let's reinvent Morrison. Writers, come up with something. Waste your valuable time coming up with something. You've come up with something? I like it. Let's run with it. Give them a couple of skits. You didn't know these cuts were coming. If you knew these cuts were coming, you never would have put these people on television. You never would have tried reinventing them. You never would have gave them valuable airtime. So you can piss on my leg and tell me it's raining all you want. This is a last-minute decision, and it's a decision based on non-budget cuts. It's based on something else. I don't know what it's based on. But if I had to make an educated guess, I would say you are attempting to trim down your excess in order to make a sale. Now, I don't think it's going to be to Disney, like some people are saying, because what about their deal with Peacock? What about their deal with Fox? What about their deals? I don't know who they're going to sell this to if they do sell it. But I do know this. In the process of whatever the hell you're trying to do business-wise, you are making yourselves look inept. You are making yourselves look like a bunch of bumbling idiots. And you are losing your fan base who now rightfully says, why should I invest my time in any of these characters that aren't the top two or three because they may not even be here? Now, you all know how big a fan I am of Cesaro. You all know how big a fan I am of AJ Styles. You all know that I'm not a big Finn Balor fan, but still, he's a name, right? And he's getting paid a hell of a lot more than Hit Row is getting paid. You're not doing anything with any of them really major. AJ Styles is 40-something, too. Cesaro's going nowhere. We see this very clearly. Cesaro's going nowhere. Finn Balor is dropping matches. He's going nowhere. How come they're still there? They're making more money. The idea behind wrestling, it is a cutthroat business. But if you say to yourself, well, these guys have been around a while and the fans are bored with them, bring in new faces. You don't fire the new faces. You fire the old faces. You fire the people that you say, well, they've been around here 10 years and the fans are kind of sick of seeing them. We need new blood. So we're bringing in new blood and we got to cut some of the old blood. That's what you do. That's not what the WWE is doing at all. They're bringing in the new blood, giving them TV time, and then saying, yeah, no, never mind. We don't want them. You got Jeff Hardy hanging around doing nothing. You got Sami Zayn hanging around doing nothing. You got Kevin Owens who wants to leave. That would have fattened up or unfattened up your budget, right? Just grant him his release. Can't do that. We got to fire some fresh young talent. Tegan Knox didn't even get a chance. Not a chance. Mike, I don't know what to say. I mean, again, I know that the wrestling community is outraged, but I think they're outraged for the wrong reason. All I'm hearing is boo-hoo-hoo, poor John Morrison, boo-hoo-hoo, poor Hit Row. They're going to be fine. They probably have more money in the bank than we'll make. And they're going to have a million job opportunities. It is unfortunate they get fired. I don't want to see anybody get fired. But my point is, we should really be sympathetic with the people who have given their time to this company to watch their pathetic show and try to invest themselves in the characters you give us, only to have the rug pulled out from under us time and time and time again.
You know something? We've said it before. All Tony Khan has to do is keep his mouth shut and let this guy, let the WWE implode on itself. You know, that's what's happening. The WWE is imploding on itself. I mean, I can make a speculation that this is probably a way for them to get out of that contract with Saudi Arabia, but that's only my idle speculation, right?
Yeah.
So there's that. But yeah, Tegan Knox, I wanted to invest myself in Hit Row. I wanted to invest myself in all four of them because I could see where that was going, right? I could see that before they let her go, B-Fab, I could see that at some point it was going to be the four of them versus the four of the bloodline. I could see that. We could all see that, right?
Yeah, at least that's where we wanted it to go, yeah.
Yeah, and they screwed that up. You know, they let her go.
Now, to be fair, somebody's telling me, well, you know, Top Dollar had big problems backstage. He had problems in NXT. People didn't like him. And he had problems backstage in WWE with people not liking him. I don't know if that's true. But I got a newsflash. If your locker room is so sensitive that some new guy can come in and bully you around or not be liked, so we need to get rid of him, you got a major problem. You got a major problem. Because that's not the way it's supposed to work. The way it's supposed to work is if this guy is really backstage causing issues, then you have the wrestlers take care of it. You have somebody, you have a locker room leader come up and tell them, you need to get in line here. You need to know your place. That's what you do. You don't fire them. People are saying, well, Top Dollar got fired, and because he was the one that Vince most really was worried about, the other two were expendable. That's nonsense. What do you mean the other two are expendable? Those are good athletes. I thought the reason you fired B-Fab is because you were told by the powers that be that these guys will be just fine without her. That's how I know you're full of crap when you tell me, well, these were planned cuts. No, they weren't. You wouldn't be having production meetings of, can we get Hit Row over without the woman? Oh, yes, they'll be fine without the woman. Are you sure? Because we don't want to ruin Hit Row. No, you cut her. They'll be fine. Okay, cut her. Yeah, and you know what? Forget it. None of them are any good. Really? Well, then I don't know what to tell you. then you need to fire your talent coordinators. Because if you're coming up here telling me I'm bringing people up that's going to be big, and then you fire them the next day, that is the equivalent of saying we got really good people in our farm system in a baseball team. Bring them up, and then they're terrible, and then you just release them completely. You don't even send them to the farm team. You just say goodbye. At what point do you say, well, our talent scouts, they got to go because everybody we bring up doesn't seem to work? This is a problem, and it's a big problem. And the WWE is very, very close to the edge of completely falling off the face of the earth into the abyss. All Tony Khan has to do is be average. Pretty soon he will overtake the WWE because people are going to be like, well, you know, why invest myself in these characters? They don't go anywhere. This is pathetic. Now, again, if the WWE had said, well, you know, it's coming toward the end of the year and we've decided we don't really have anything to do with Shane Thorne. Okay. Well, I don't know. He's a pretty good athlete, but okay. We don't really see anything in, you know, one or two of these other Morrison's getting older, and we don't really think we have much for him. And, you know, it's not worth the cost of keeping him. Okay. Well, I disagree, but okay. But why in the world would you bring people up and then fire them weeks later? Why in the world would you have Drake Maverick featured in a plot line in which it looks like he's going to be the only real actual voice of reason in a 24/7 title division, only and make him the champion for a minute, only to fire him? Why even do the angle then? Why do it at all? Does that make any sense to you? Then you bring up Tegan Knox, right? And she's Shotzi Blackheart's partner. Yeah, that's great. That's like having Metallica and Justin Bieber do a concert together. You never gave Tegan Knox a chance. You never gave Tegan Knox a chance. And Derek in the chat room is absolutely right. They're going to get women together for a Rumble? And you couldn't have waited until after the Rumble? Where are they going to scratch it out? Who's next, Aaliyah? Oh, yeah, Aaliyah won her first match, and she was going to be on the Survivor Series team. That wouldn't surprise me at this point. Why am I supposed to invest in characters? Why am I supposed to care right now what Austin Theory's doing? Maybe he's not going to be there 2 weeks from now. So why do I care? What do I care what's going on with Jinder Mahal and Shanky just cut a promo on Hit Row? I figured they were going to be the first people to take on Hit Row, right? So how does that make Jinder Mahal and Shanky look? Might as well let them go. Just let them go. You don't care about them. But what's worse is you don't care about your fans because you're feeding them stuff and then saying, yeah, we're throwing it away. That is the equivalent of serving bad food at your restaurant and saying, well, you know what, we don't care. Or worse, serving good food and then saying it's off the menu. Yeah, we have these wonderful new dishes. Oh, good. Yeah, these are really good. I'm coming back next week for them. Yeah, well, we took them off the menu. Budget cuts. But you just introduced it. Yeah, well. Why do you bother? You know, my job is to get on here and tell you the good and the bad. I can't think of any good to say about the WWE at this point. There is no actual reason. And I'm a lifelong WWE fan. I'm not even a big AEW fan. So before people say, you're an AEW mark. No, I'm not. But I can't give you a good reason to watch the WWE. What do you want me to say? Oh, Roman Reigns is a good character. So what? So you got one. Oh, Brock Lesnar's coming. So what? So what? It's not enough. The fans to watch your show every minute you put in that show should be special. It should be something that you say, look, barring anything beyond our control, the people you see are the people we're really going to be asking you to get invested in the next 3 to 6 months. Now you're not doing that. How about if you started a show and you said, here's our some of our main characters. We're bringing these characters into a plot line. And then you just said, they're gone. Pretty soon people would stop watching the show because they'd be like, well, you pop on these characters and they're supposed to be important to the plot line of the show. And then later on, they're just gone and there's no explanation. What's the point of watching a show if your writers don't even know what the F they're doing? That's what you'd say. Well, that's what I'm saying about the WWE, Todd. Watching them now is just an exercise in futility because you don't even know who's going to be there next week.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with these so-called budget cuts, whatever they want to call them, it's just bad, you know. We never seen anything like this back in the 80s and 90s when the WWE at the time never done this at all.
It's ridiculous. And again, you know, just to reiterate them saying, well, Top Dollar had some attitude problems in NXT, like Derek is saying in the chat room. Well, if he had attitude problems in NXT, why'd you bring him up? Why didn't you take care of it in NXT? I don't believe it. I think it's bullshit. Something is wrong. No company acts this way. No company acts this way. You cannot name me another sports franchise, another entertainment franchise. You can't name me any company that acts this way. Not one. Because there's no rhyme or reason to who they fire. Now, if the WWE had come out and said the following people are gone, we have let go Stryker, okay, or Riker, okay, I get it. You're still an idiot because you wasted Elias's career on him, but okay. We let go Shane Thorne because we can't think of nothing to do with him, and he hasn't been on TV for ages, and okay. But then what? You got other people sitting around you not doing anything with. How much good is Commander Aziz doing you? Please tell me. Is he on television every week? Is he a big deal? Are you pushing him towards something? He just stumbles around behind Apollo Crews, who's never on television. What's next for Sami Zayn? You got something big planned for him? How about Jeff Hardy, who's 45? You got something huge planned for him? Is he going to go back to being Willow? Well, that'll work. Some of these guys, you could go ahead and let go. At this point, as much as I love Cesaro, just let him go. Maybe he can find a spot in AEW or Impact or someplace else. Whether you'll actually use him, because you're obviously not going to use Cesaro. We get it. But no, you just hang on them. It's funny, you got guys saying, I want to leave so bad, I can't wait till my contract is up, I just want to get the hell out of here. Oh no, we're keeping those guys. And the guys are like, I'm so happy to be here, it's my life. Yeah, you're fired. Do you think that's a smart move? If I was a CEO of a company, I got people working for me saying, oh, Jesus, as soon as I fulfill my obligation to this company, I'm going to the competition. I hate this company. I hate every day of my life coming here. I hate it. And then I got an employee who's showing up 10 minutes early, leaving 10 minutes late, taking great pride in the company. You think I'm going to fire that guy and keep the other one? It's unbelievable. Mike, if I didn't know better, I would say the WWE is sabotaging them, purposely sabotaging their own company.
I would think so, too, and think about it, you know. You know, we know there's a possibility that Riker and let's call him Rockstar Spud now will probably end up back in Impact. Probably. I'm not saying for sure, but probably. All right? So then there's that. And if you're going to get rid of these guys, we know that Charlotte is basically just going through the motions, right? And she's got 3 years left on her deal. Or a couple years left on her deal. I mean, why not cut her loose? She's gone through the motions. She's, according to what we're hearing, she's kind of a bad influence in the locker room. Nobody likes her. Let her go.
Yeah. Again, this is what I'm saying. You got people literally causing trouble. You got people who don't want to be there, and those are the people you're going to hang on to. Now, let me run this by you guys. Let's say I was a multimillionaire, and I said, I want to get into a wrestling company. I got a television station that's interested in me, and I want to give some competition to Tony Khan and Vince McMahon. I could do it with just the people that's been released, not even signed yet. If I could get Bray Wyatt, Braun Strowman, Morrison, people from Ring of Honor, the Briscoes, and there is enough people out there that the WWE and Ring of Honor have let go. You could start a really, really, really good federation. Eric Rowan is out there floating around. You'd have the Wyatt family, to an extent, reunited. And some of these guys are underrated talent. Shane Thorne is a very good wrestler. Riker's not great on the mic or anything, but you could do something with him. You could definitely do something with him. Morrison's still a name. See, this is the thing that gets me about Morrison. I don't think you were paying him a ton of money. And Morrison's still one of those guys that now that you're touring again, if his name is on a house show, people are like, oh, yeah, I know Morrison. He's cool. I like to watch him wrestle. And you're not paying him a ton. So was the budget cut so severe that you can continue to pay Jeff Hardy a ton, but you can't pay Morrison a little bit? I don't believe that. I don't believe it at all. I think it's much more likely that you're letting these people go for a different reason that has nothing to do with budget cuts. I could pick up Hit Row, by the way. Theoretically, I could have Hit Row against the Wyatt family, couldn't I, as a major feud. Unbelievable. I could have Morrison with Taya Valkyrie as his valet / women's champion. All people that WWE have let go and haven't found their way into another company yet. There's a lot of people floating around out there. Really, really good wrestlers floating around out there. And if they're not great wrestlers, they're great names. They're names that would draw people. And they're still floating around out there. Like I said, Braun Strowman's still floating around out there. If there's any entrepreneurial guy out there who really does want to start a wrestling federation and you got some bucks to do it, boy, this is the time to do it. Tony Khan can't, you know, sign everyone. And apparently Vince McMahon is just going to let the talent pool go. Guess what's going to happen? Tony Khan's going to let some people go pretty soon. Or some people are just going to go. And then you can pick them up. If there was ever a time, this is Impact Wrestling's time. This is Impact Wrestling's time to say we need a financial support. We need someone with some mega bucks who believes in this company to snatch these people up. If Billy Corgan was smart, he'd snatch them up. Can you imagine? He's got the bucks to do it. But you know what? He has to have connections to people who have major, major money. Because I know how the music business works, and that guy had major hits. And I know that he knows people in the business of not just the music business, but other aspects of entertainment that has mega bucks that could potentially back him. And if he were to open up the purse strings a little bit and say, we are going to sign these people, we are interested in Buddy Murphy, who's down in Japan now, but you could get him back. We are interested in Shane Thorne. We are interested in getting Eric Rowan and maybe Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman and Morrison and Taya Valkyrie and Tegan Knox and all these people. I got news. That's one hell of a boost for his company. That instantly puts you up there with the big boys. I'm sorry, it does. And if Impact could manage it, it puts them up there with the big boys. I wish they would merge. The greatest thing that could ever happen is if Impact Wrestling could come to some understanding with Corrigan and they just merge their companies. Pretty damn good company. Tony Khan's blowing it by having signed too many people, and Vince McMahon's blowing it by just letting everybody go, Mike. So I think the time is ripe for this third wheel to emerge.
Okay. Yeah, I think so, too. You know, think about it. You got Billy Corgan, who wanted to be a big deal, right? You know, he tried to buy Impact at one point. He tried, and now he's trying to make it a go with this other with the NWA Power, you know. And hell, you're right. If he can get some more money from someplace, I don't know where, but from someplace, right? I mean, look, the guys who used to do Mark Burnett and those guys who used to do Lucha Underground, who used to produce New Lucha Underground.
Right.
All right? You know, those guys are floating around someplace. I mean, you make a deal with those guys, they can get you on a major TV station, and you have production there for Mark Burnett, and you got, you know, attitude-wise, you got, you know, Billy Corgan and Mark Burnett. That could be a power team-up, you know?
Yeah, look, the time is actually right for something like that, and it would be a boost. Ring of Honor is gone now. I don't believe they're coming back. So they've let all their talent go. Vince McMahon is letting talent go like it's all right. And here's the thing. He's not just letting – I can understand a company saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to sign 45-year-olds. I get that. Or if I do, I only want to sign them for a year or something. I don't want to make them a major part of the Federation because I don't know what's going to happen in a year or two. I get that. But they're letting young talent go. They're letting fresh, young, really untapped talent go, who could be major talent somewhere. Any one of these guys could be the next household name, really. I want you to remember that there were plenty of wrestlers who were heading into nowhere land until they got repackaged. What was Stone Cold Steve Austin going to be? The Ringmaster. Yeah, that was working. If they continued with that, Stone Cold Steve Austin never would have happened. Steve Austin would have been a footnote in WWE history. People would have said, remember when that Austin guy came over from the Hollywood Blondes, he was the Ringmaster, and that was dumb. That's what they would have said. But no, you reinvented him. You got Stone Cold Steve Austin. Remember when they were booing the hell out of the Rock, Rocky Maivia? Not because he was a bad guy, because they really thought he sucked. And you reinvented him, and you got the Rock out of it? These guys that you're letting go, a good number of them, are young, fresh talent. You could reinvent them 10 times. Who knows what they're going to end up being? Again, if you want to let the 40-something-year-olds go, okay. But I don't understand this nonsense. I just don't understand letting guys go that you could build a future on. I don't get it. I don't like it. And I think that the WWE is going to live to regret this. I honestly do. Todd, I don't know how we're supposed to really care about the survival. And this is another thing. They do this knowing they are going to get all of this publicity, negative publicity, before the Survivor Series. It takes all of the wind out of the sails of the Survivor Series. Instead of getting on this show and talking about the Survivor Series and having everybody interested in the Survivor Series, we're now talking about this. They couldn't wait 5 days? That's what gets me. Why not announce this after the Survivor Series?
Yeah, you're absolutely right there, like you said, about everything about the Survivor Series. I remember back then, they used to build things up for like a month or a month and a half to get teams up together. Just now you gotta build teams up like in 3 weeks for a Survivor Series. Come on now.
Yeah, I don't know. I tell you, again, lifelong WWE fan, I did take a hiatus from the WWE. Several years back, I took a hiatus of about 6 months to 8 months where I did not watch the WWE at all. And then they rooked me back in, and I said, well, you know, it's one of those things. I needed a break, but I love wrestling, and I love the WWE. And I took that hiatus when they were doing a hell of a lot better than they're doing now. This is bad, and I cannot recommend. I can't get on here and say, oh, man, the WWE, you guys should really be. You can't wait for the Survivor Series. You guys should be so anxious to see Raw and SmackDown this week. It's going to be great. I can't tell you that. All I can tell you is, if you want to keep your eye on them, keep your eye on them. I'm going to continue to report on them because that's what we do here. But I understand fans' frustration. And when fans tell me I'm done, I'm finished, I get it. I get it. If I was just a fan, I'd probably be finished myself. Because there are other options now. I want you to understand that Impact Wrestling has virtually destroyed themselves time and time and time and time again, shot themselves in the foot time and time and time again, have had terrible TV deals time and time and time again, and even they are running their company more professionally than Vince McMahon at this point. That's how bad this has gotten. Oh, they can say all they want. Oh, we got the profits rolling in. I'm sure you do. But this is very short term. Because what's going to end up happening is your ratings are going to continue to go down and down and down. Because fans are going to lose interest and they're going to lose faith that anything you present is actually important. And once that happens, you're done. I want you to imagine this. Imagine if you're reading a book and after chapter two or three, you know who the main characters are. And in chapter four, they introduce someone and you say, this is going to be someone who's going to play a major part in this book. This is going to get good now. Now they've introduced this guy. I know where this is going. And you read 35 pages on this guy who they've just introduced, and then he's never mentioned again for 19 more chapters, and it turns out that he has no part in it whatsoever. You're going to say, I don't know if I'm going to read a book by that person again, because they just introduce characters for the fun of it, and then they don't go anywhere. You make me read all about them and their life story, and I'm imagining how they're going to fit into the plot, and then they just don't. So all you're really doing is padding your book, and you're wasting my time because you're making me read and imagine what's going to be happening here only to just say it meant nothing. That's what the WWE feels like now, Mike. I don't know if we have Mike there. Let me try it again. See if we got Mike on the phone. Mike, okay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, so like we said earlier, if Billy Corgan was on the ball, he knows people. He could get the money to get this done, all right? He can find the money. He can find the people with the money and the know-how to get this thing done if he was on the ball. Now, I don't know if he's on the ball or not. He's got – I mean, around the wrestling business, you've got to know that Tony Khan can only sign so many people, all right? Yeah, you could maybe get a couple of more women in there, maybe, all right? But on the male side, you're not going to sign – you're not going to sign a 40-year-old Johnny Morrison. You might try and sign one of the Hit Row guys because they're still younger. They're younger guys, so there's that. But after that, I mean, like I said, I do believe that Rockstar Spud and Jackson Riker will probably end up back in Impact, probably. And look, Rockstar Spud is so good on the mic, all right, that he could be a manager for somebody.
Mike, there's no question, and this is the frustrating thing. If you're going to say to me, we're going with the big guys, I'm sorry for all of you people who like the lightweights, but the WWE's made a decision that for the most part, we're going with the heavy guys. So we have no use for Tozawa. We have no use for Rockstar Spud. We have no use for guys like Ricochet. They're gone. I'd say, okay, well, you know what? Some people are going to hate that, but at least there's a plan. But that's not what you're doing. You're getting rid of big guys. You're keeping small guys. You're getting rid of small guys to keep old guys. You're getting rid of new guys to keep old guys. You're getting rid of old guys, introducing new guys, and then getting rid of the new guy you got rid of him for. How much are you paying Bobby Roode, and what is he doing? I like Bobby Roode. I wish you did more with him, but you're not. The Dirty Dogs literally got their heads handed to them. Dolph Ziggler's been around forever. Are you going to reinvent them and make them huge? No, you're not. No, you're not. And neither one of them are spring chickens. The problem is you don't have a plan. You have no plan, no future plan. It's, oh, well, at our whim. Well, we thought this guy was going to work. He didn't, get rid of him. I thought you wanted big guys. Yeah, but not him. Tomorrow almost could be gone. After all this buildup, there is no doubt in my mind that they might say, forget it. And then what? You can't do this time and time again to your fans, because when you do, fans desert the ship. And that's exactly what's going to happen. We're seeing some pretty low numbers now. What do you think is going to happen when fans just say, I can't trust this company? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen. They're going to turn off their television sets, or they're going to go somewhere else. One of the two. Now, in the meantime, we should say that our feud that we were talking about between MJF and CM Punk looked like it's coming to fruition over in AEW. I would have done it reversed, but they're still doing it. You know that that's going to draw attention. These are characters that we imagined and said, you know what? Eventually that's going to come. Eventually that's where this is leading. And guess what? Oh, it led to where we thought it was going to lead. You mean Tony Khan didn't come out and say, you know, we're firing MJF. He's just too small. We were going to feud him against CM Punk, but we've decided, no, we're going to move CM Punk on to bigger things. So MJF is gone. And then a week later, yeah, CM Punk's gone too. You mean Tony Khan didn't do that? Outrageous. Then we get Tony Storm, who was squashed in a match time and time again on the main brand, and she is replacing Aaliyah in the Survivor Series. Oh, we're supposed to care about that. That's a big, oh, what a threatening member of the team that is. I like Toni Storm, but that's not how you presented her. Terrible. So, I mean, might as well be anybody. Might as well be Dana Brooke. And by the way, why has Dana Brooke got a job and Tegan Knox doesn't? Dana Brooke has been up here for I don't know how long. You've done absolutely nothing with her. Your own announcers are being told to say she's never going to amount to anything. She's nothing. And she never is on television. So do you think there's more worth in Dana Brooke than Tegan Knox at this point? And if you do, how come you're not using Dana Brooke? I mean, that's your evaluation. If you say, yeah, we really do think that Dana Brooke has more worth than Tegan Knox, then use her. But you're not. So you let a young, fresh face that a lot of the fans hadn't really got to know yet go. So you could keep old faces that people say, oh, I'm not going to do anything with her. You got anything planned for Tamina Snuka? She's been in your company for I don't know how many years. And you've done exactly nothing with her. You got anything major planned for her that would make me think that she should stay and Tegan Knox should go? Makes no sense. Makes absolutely no sense. I'm not even excited tonight for the go-home show for SmackDown, because what's the difference? Whatever I see, unless it involves Roman Reigns, no one is safe. I might be watching something that's never going to take place. It wouldn't surprise me if they build up these side feuds like they're doing and then say, oh, no, we've released that person. There's just a handful of people who are safe in the WWE. And by the way, how do you think that makes people in the dressing room feel? Knowing I could be next. Every time I come to the arena, this could be my last match. Unless my name is Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar or maybe three or four other people. How would you feel if every day you went to work thinking this could be my last day? Would you give your all to it? Would you feel secure and happy and couldn't wait to go to work? Or are you going to feel nervous and tense and disillusioned and depressed? This is no way to run a wrestling company. I don't know what the backstage morale is, Mike, but I bet you it's not very good.
Right. And look, I'll say it again. All Tony Khan has to do is keep his mouth shut. And people are going to desert it like rats jumping off, like people jumping off the Titanic, right? And that's when you're going to see 500,000 on Friday night at 9 p.m. go from 500,000 to possibly 800,000 or 900,000, because people are going to look for something else because they know SmackDown is going nowhere. SmackDown is going backwards, you know. People are going to look for something else.
Just wait. Wait till the ratings start dropping and Fox is like, what the F? And USA is like, what the F? And the WWE is left to explain, why are you releasing all your it's a bad move. Think of a ball team. I don't care whether it's football, basketball, baseball. If suddenly they said, we're releasing all these people, some of them that were starting players, what would your first instinct be? They're rebuilding their team to be better, or they're cutting ties and we're just going to be in a rebuilding stage for the next 3 or 4 years? See, that's what happens with ball clubs. You start cutting major fans like that pretty soon. The fans just, I see what this is going to be. We're going to go through 3 or 4 years of rebuilding and minor league players and non-contention, and you get disillusioned. Right now, the sports papers would be screaming, why are the New York Mets? Why are the Yankees? Why are the Boston Red Sox firing all these people? Why? What's going on? What's going on with general management there? Are they on the verge of collapse? But it's pro wrestling, so everybody's like, eh. It's funny. You had all these people hired, and you were still showing a profit. So now all of a sudden it's budget cuts, budget cuts, budget cuts. If you need to do this for budget cuts, please explain to me how bad your company is failing, because you keep telling your stockholders that you're making money, record profits. If you're making record profits, why are you cutting? Businesses don't do that. They reinvest. In other words, if I own a business and I say, well, my profit margin is usually this. It's usually this percentage. And 1 year, it's almost double that percentage. Then I might as well take that money and reinvest and make my company bigger and better. That's what businesses do. They don't say, oh, I'm up even more. I bet you if I close a few stores and fire a few people, I could make even more money. Yeah, but eventually you're going to ruin those stores. Eventually, you're not going to see that profit margin. That's what's going to happen with the WWE, and that's why I'm very, very, very convinced they're looking to sell. They sold the network. Vince McMahon is getting to be very close to an octogenarian, if he's not already. And I have this suspicion that there was a fallout. I told you on other shows, I think there's something between him and Triple H. I really do. I don't think he wants Triple H anywhere near this company. as far as managing it or owning it in the future. I don't think he wants to hand it to Stephanie either. I think he's going to sell it. I really do. I think Vince McMahon is very close to selling this company. I don't know to who, but this is what a company does do before they sell. And if they do sell it off, what's it going to be? Is it going to be anything close to what it was? Well, we don't know. It depends on who buys it. I don't know what to think anymore. All I know is this. Todd, you cannot run a business this way and continue to be successful. Eventually, it's going to crash and burn.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, if you can't run a business this way, you're going to end up crashing and burning and end up closing shop for good if it just keeps happening this way.
And there's no sign of it stopping, Mike. It's like, oh, well, we made record profits. Cut more people, and the record profits will even be better, and more people will buy our stock. Yeah, but eventually you're going to get down to the point where you say, well, we ain't got nothing else left to cut, and now our shows are weaker than they used to be. We don't have a talent pool like we used to. And, you know, they've ruined NXT. Let's face it. NXT is almost unwatchable. I don't know, Mike, if you've watched it anyway to begin with. But the last few weeks of NXT, it's pretty close to unwatchable.
Yeah, they're pretty much unwatchable. And they just remember this. What happened when Ted Turner decided to cut off the money from WCW?
Yeah.
You know, he cut off the money from WCW, and then you start to see, well, they're going to let Hulk Hogan go, and they're going to let this guy go, and they're going to let that guy go. And then eventually they ended up selling to Vince, right?
Right.
That's what happened. You know, when you cut talent and good talent, I mean, look, you used a sports franchise earlier. Look, when a football team or a baseball team starts saying, okay, my starting quarterback, my starting wide receiver, my starting running back, defensive end, left tackle, we're going to trade all these guys or let them go. Well, One thing that makes me think about something here is they're trying to tank the season to get a better draft pick, you know, get higher up in the draft. Or they're trying to tank, like the whole story with the movie Major League was, they were trying to knock the attendance down enough to move the team to Miami. You know?
Yeah, there's an ulterior motive here, Mike. There's no way that this company is just saying, well, we're streamlining in order to maximize profits. I don't believe you. I don't believe you. Not anymore. The first round of cuts, maybe I did. I don't now. Something's wrong. You're streamlining all right, but you're streamlining for another reason. And my suspicion is you're streamlining because you're on the market. You're actively looking for a buyer. And I just wonder if they've already reached that deal. I mean, there are people out there. I know Disney was interested at one time. I know there were some other people that were interested. The future of the WWE, I think, is very much up in arms right now. And Tony Khan could not have picked a better time. He is the beneficiary of some very, very bad business practices. And it's making him look like a genius when, in fact, he really isn't. It's remarkable. It's remarkable. All I can tell you is this, folks. If you want to tune into SmackDown tonight, tune into SmackDown. We'll be talking about it, obviously, on Sunday, along with our Survivor Series predictions. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is for my friends Marcus, Mike, and Todd. Thank you for voting me as the most impressive debut at Raw of this decade. Thank you. I send you a big hug. And for all those, listen to WrestleChat Radio from your friend Angel Garza. And remember, el Latino está en la casa, baby.
You're listening to WrestleChat Radio.
done.